You know, as I opened up this morning, I talked about David and how he celebrated. So just as David and the Israelites celebrated, we who have been adopted into the family of God because we believed what the scripture said in John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That verse, if we believe that to be true, then we are in the family of God. But then it also, in 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple, that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells within you." So with that, knowing that we are here today because we are a part of the body of Christ, we are the church. So, Father, we thank you as we come this morning. We're here to give you praise and thanksgiving for what you have done in this ministry. In the First Congregational Church of Bureau, Father, you have done a mighty work. Your hand has been upon this ministry for 135 years. God, you have brought in this ministry faithful men and women who are obedient, who are committed, who are compelled, and who are contagious to fulfill your plan and your purpose in this community. And Father, we thank you for that. So this morning, the message that I have is entitled, "Look What God Has Done." So the scripture I want to start with this morning is out of Matthew 6:18, and it says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now let me ask you this. When you hear that verse, and you hear the word church in that verse, can you not help but think, when you hear the word church, you think of a building? Some people do. When they hear the word church, they think of a church building. But this verse isn't talking about that. It's talking about the people. The people are the church. Back when the church started, there was no church building to go to when it came to being in fellowship and fellowshipping and praising and worshiping Jesus. So they went to each other's homes. So church comes from a word used in the early Greek democracy to indicate a calling out of a people, of a group, to assemble together. And today we assemble together to worship because God in Christ Jesus has called us to be distinct, some might say peculiar. But we are distinct from the world. Those who have heard the call of Christ or to follow Christ, we are considered a holy people. We are considered a holy people because we belong to the family of God. Now, sometimes you might hear my church. Now, when I just read this, it says here where he says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." But you might hear an individual say, "my church." But think about this. When they say "my church," what are they saying? They're not saying that I'm the head of the church. What they're saying is, "my church." I call it my church because when I go to that church, I feel the love, and I can give love. And it's a place where I can get ministered to. I can open up, and I can feel comfortable there. I feel like I'm a part of that church family. So when they say "my church," they're saying, "that's where I belong. This is where God has put me. This is where I feel comfortable. This is where I'm needed. This is where I can fill the void that was there before I came." Because God has given to all of us gifts, and he wants all of us to use those gifts as the body of Christ. So, in Matthew again, 16:18, Jesus said, "And on this rock I will build my church." Well, the church belongs to him, and we are a part of that church. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. And like our physical body, our eyes are used, that it has a function to see. Our ears have the function to hear. Our legs are functioned for us to walk from one place to another. Our hands are to make things, to do things. Not only that, our heart supplies blood to the rest of our body. Every part of our body has a task to do. The same is true with the body of Christ. We all have a task to do. We've all been given a gift. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11, there's what they call the fivefold ministries. And that's the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher, and then there's the helps ministry. And that's what I want to touch on today. That as a body of Christ, we all have a part to play. And because of that part that we play, we manage to be a part of what God is doing in this community, in this church. And because of the gifts that he's given us, we can use those gifts, such as Cheryl's. That's a good example. God's given her the gift to play music, and she uses it for the Lord. There are many ministries inside this ministry. The Word of God is being preached. The prophetic word is being given. There's teaching of the Bible study, kids club, and sermon messages. There's the music ministry that's anointed. The ministry of offices that take place to help this ministry run smoothly. The governing church board, the worship and evangelism, the missions, the women's fellowship. All of these offices are made possible and helps this ministry strive and survive. But with these offices, there's a president, vice president, a co-chair, a treasurer, a secretary. So there's so much more involved in ministry than what we see on the surface. But let us not forget this ministry, prayer warrior, being a prayer warrior. A couple of weeks ago, we were sitting in the fellowship hall, probably during Bible study, and we were talking about praying for other people. And like we just did a little while ago, we prayed corporately together, and we stood in the gap for those who need prayer. And then we also praised and thanked the Lord for the prayers that had been answered. We're doing it corporately. But then there's always those prayer warriors that are out there individually praying. As God lays that person on their heart, they stop what they're doing and they pray. And I remember Mary sharing the story. I can't remember who she was with that day. And there was things going on. And they came in here and they started laying hands on each pew and praying over each pew. And that's what I did this morning, and I do it every so often. And I'll just pray and ask for God's anointing on each and every pew in this sanctuary. So there's prayer warriors. But the list doesn't stop there. The list goes on with those that come here to clean or do small repairs or upkeep on God's house. And there are those that come and do the lunches for funerals or other special events. There are those that come and do the serving, because we have fellowship time after service, and we have coffee and it's in rolls. And everyone takes their turn. And we visit for another hour and just fellowship with each other. There's those that are faithfully doing that. They sign up and they're faithful at it. There's also those, and you know who you are. There's these people that go to someone and visit them in the hospital or in the nursing home, or the person is homebound, and they'll go visit them at their home. There's that ministry. There's also the ministry of transportation, where somebody who can't get to church unless somebody goes and gets them and brings them here or takes them home. So there's that ministry. You don't see them as ministries, but that's what they are. I remember when my husband and I were in a ministry in LaSalle, and we had so many people, we had to have a bus. And my husband would drive the bus, and I'd have to laugh. He murmured. I never heard him murmur very often, but he murmured every once in a while, because after the service was over, all these people would load the bus that didn't have transportation, and he'd take them home to their place, and then he'd come back and pick me up, and then we'd go out and eat. Well, all the other people that had left service like an hour before that are already there, and they're eating wherever it was we all decided to go eat. By the time we got there, they were all done and ready to go home, and we were standing there like we didn't have anybody to fellowship with. And he'd murmur, he'd say, I love ministry, I love transportation ministry, but Then when it comes time to fellowship with everybody, they're done eating and they're ready to go home. So, but you know what? He loved what he did. With that, there's also the ministry of helps, helping others in the community. And some of you know who you are. You check on neighbors. You see if they need anything in the grocery store. If you run them to the grocery store, you are faithful. And as trivial as this might seem to some of you, I love our bell ringers. They are faithful. Every Sunday they go out there and they ring that bell, and they've done it for how many years? How long has that bell been there? 135 years, Mary, you think? Probably. So we have, it might be a small thing, but you know what? That bell, if I can bet you that if you didn't ring that bell for a couple of Sundays, there would people be asking that maybe don't go to this church, but they're used to hearing that bell ring. They're used to hearing that because it's a part of their community. And when it's a part of the community, it says that God is alive and well and that he is faithful and we are faithful. There's also those that are, let's go to Jerry here this morning, our Sunday humorist who always puts a smile on everyone's face. And sometimes we're scratching our head when he's done, but that's okay. And there's also those that are faithful to help bring food for any special events in the fellowship hall. And I certainly do not want to forget these last two that are on this list. Our savvy, yes, savvy computer and technical people. You know who you are, and you kind of spread out this morning. But we want to thank you because it's your savviness of computers and technical things on the sound system that make things here run smoother for service. So we thank you. And last but certainly not least are Alice's daughters who come faithfully and go out there and they trim those bushes. And I love, because Alice says, I'm the foreman. I stand there and tell them what needs to be trimmed. And they still keep coming. They still keep coming. And Mary and I were out there the other day doing some trimming too, and of course they were cleaning windows and stuff. There's always something to do. There's always something to put our hands to. All of these things that I mentioned this morning, these are all ministries that help this ministry run smoother. But I want you to think about this. It's because of all of these faithful people doing all these things that when we have a friend or a family member or a new friend or a stranger that comes in this room for the very first time and they accept Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior for the very first time, you are a part of that. You will get recognition in heaven for being faithful at keeping these doors open and having the word of God be shed abroad into those that come here to hear. You will get a part of that reward. But not only that, those that come here to be baptized and want to receive Holy Spirit into their lives, you're a part of that. Also, those that come here that haven't been here for a while, and they come back and they say, I want to rededicate my life back to the Lord. I'm one of the prodigals, but I'm back, and I'm here to stay. And you're a part of that, and you will get a reward from that. These are all wonderful reasons for us today to celebrate, and we are going to celebrate. And we know that we are small in number, but as Alice said, as she come around the bend, she goes, Bonnie, look at all the people. And you fire us up. When you come here and you fill those empty seats, you're firing up us that have been here. You're getting us excited. You're getting us pumped up. But I want to say this. It's not about numbers for numbers' sake when it comes to attendance. It's about numbers for God's sake. It's about numbers for our sake. It's about numbers for the lost, for the sake of the lost. That's what the numbers are about this morning. Amen? So today, it is a time of rejoicing and celebrating for all of what God has done, what God is doing, and what God is going to do. We rejoice because God caused this place, this ministry, to exist 135 years ago. And if that was all he did, that would be enough. But it's not. God always goes above and beyond what we ever ask. And because he's allowed this ministry to exist all this time, he has poured out his favor and his blessings upon this ministry, upon those that have been faithful all these years. There are those, like I said earlier, that are committed, compelled, contagious, and they want to do whatever it takes to give glory to God. And they have a desire for his presence, for the presence of the Holy Spirit in these services every single Sunday, every single ceremony that takes place in this auditorium, every single thing that takes place, weddings, funerals. We want the presence of God. This ministry touches lives one life at a time. It took and it takes those who are dedicated, those who are faithful, those who are steadfast to be God's hands and God's feet. And I thank you, Lord, that through our continual service, that you will keep your presence here with us and your anointing will be upon us. Now let me go back quickly to Matthew 16:18. It says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." I want you to think about something here. When Jesus said that, he was responding to something that Peter did. Let me say that again. "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Why would Jesus say this to Peter? What did Peter do that Jesus said this to him? Well, the thing is, Peter had just confessed his faith in Jesus as the Messiah. That's all Peter did, was say, "Jesus, I know you as the Messiah." And what did Jesus do? He said, "On this rock, you, Peter, I will build my church." I'm assuming that probably 99.9% of you in this room are saying today that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. You believe that to be so. And if that's the case, just like what he said to Peter, he's saying to us today that he has built this church. He has built this church, and with this church will come the anointing, will come the blessings and the favor of God. Jesus grows his church by the confession of faith in him. The church is the body of Christ, the body of Christ. We are that body of Christ. We have that faith. And with that, God will cause this church to grow. It's not by our might, but by his. In order for a church body to strive and survive, the church body must walk by faith in obedience to the Great Commission. That's simply what we've been called to do, is share the Great Commission. Our faith is founded on the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Jesus who overcame death, hell, and the grave. This church, this ministry is still here today, 135 years later, because it was founded on faith in Christ Jesus. Now, where the world wants to come and cause chaos and death, the body of Christ, the church, wants to bring a hope and a future to the lost. Where the forces of sin wants to bring death, the church body wants to proclaim what? Forgiveness. Where death is at work every single day in this world, the body of Christ, the church, wants to proclaim the kingdom of God. The church preaches the good news of salvation, the good news of our Lord Jesus. Now we know, most of us in this room, that the church has received a lot of challenges and a lot of difficulties in the last 50 years. But we have been promised by God himself, that he said, "I will give you a hope and a future." That's his promise out of Jeremiah. He's saying, "I will give you a hope and a future. I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you." You know, we've heard this, the old saying, read the end of the book. Read the end of the book, we win. He's faithful. He is our provider. He is our source. He will bring them in. You know, after God released the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, what happened? God sent a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day. He also brought water from the rock for 2 million people while they were on their journey in the wilderness. He also gave them manna for 40 years. He made sure that their sandals and their clothes never wore out on their journey. God caused them to overcome. They were more than conquerors through Christ Jesus when they were on their journey in those 40 years. God gave them the promised land, the land of milk and honey. Now you think about it. Moses and the Israelites saw firsthand God's power, God's awesomeness, by the pillar of fire, by the pillar of cloud, by the water coming out of the rock for 2 million people, by the manna for 40 years. God did all of these things. Now, think about this. Moses, who is standing at the entrance of the promised land, God allows Moses, he can't go in. God told him he couldn't go into the promised land. But God shows him, he says, I'm going to show you the promised land. So Moses looks on into the promised land and he sees how beautiful it is. And do you know what Moses says to God? He says in Deuteronomy 3:24, I believe God, you've only just begun to show your greatness and your mighty hand. After all they saw, after all God had done in that 40-year span, Moses says this to him, that God, you've only just begun. And that's what we can say this morning. We can look back today. We can look back at the 135 years, and as we go through those pictures and we see them, and we think of all those that came before us, as the song we're singing at the end today, find us faithful. May all who have gone before us find us faithful. So when we look at these pictures today, let us be reminded of what God has done, what God is doing, but more than anything, what God will continue to do. As we look back, it should give us a new perspective of what God will do in the days and the years and the decades to come. And as we give God the glory for the great things that he has done, know our best days are ahead of us. Our best days are ahead of us. Our mission is the Great Commission. Our mission, not just in here, but as we go about our day, is the Great Commission. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. If you don't feel comfortable sharing the word, share the love. And the more you share the love, the more they're going to want to know why your love just pours out of you. Why? There's a door that's opened that's never been opened before. It gives you an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel, the Great Commission. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the message today. Yes, Lord. The Lord laid on my heart just now. We had a little discussion, Bible study, that there are so many people, there was a survey done, that there are so many Christians that did not believe that hell was real. They didn't believe that it was a real deal, that it was just a metaphor. Hell is real. And because of the Great Commission, we can make sure that those that we come in contact with, those that we share the gospel with, that we pray with them, so that they will not ever have to experience what hell is. That's what we want. We want no one to have to go to hell. We want them to experience eternal salvation. And you know what? When we get up to heaven and we're with the Father, we're going to run across that person that we were reluctant about maybe sharing the gospel with, but we got around to it, and we were able to minister to them, and they received the Lord. And when they see you, when they come up there, they're going to say, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. Be one of those. Be one of those that is faithful, compelled, committed, and contagious for the Word of God and what God has for everyone. He wants it for everyone. He wants us all to come to know Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this message today. And Father, we marvel at the experience of being able to share the gospel, the Great Commission. Father, give us the wisdom, but give us the boldness and give us the confidence to step out. Because after 135 years, Lord, we just know that we know that we know that Your hand is upon this ministry. And Father, as we close this service today, as we sing this last hymn, Father, we ask for Your anointing to be poured down on each and every one of us today. And as we leave, Father, give us opportunities to share Your good news with the lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. Number 497, Find Us Faithful. And let's sing this like we mean it this morning. To do is lift your hands just like this. Lift your hands. We're going to do this corporately this morning. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face down upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And Father, we thank You for this day of celebration. And we thank You for the victory and the joy and the memories that we will share today. And you, Father, are the cause of all of that. All of that joy, all that peace, and this celebration. In Jesus' name, go in peace. Amen.